Broadcasting live from Forward Observer Central Command in Austin, Texas. It's the man always out front on issues. You're listening to Out Front with Mike Shelby.
Hello and good afternoon. Welcome to Out Front, the show where we talk about intelligence, security, creating a first world zone in a third world country, and how to win at low intensity conflict, or at least not lose. I'm your host, Mike Shelby. This is episode number 112, Area Study Night. It has been a while. I have returned. For years, I've tried to run Forward Observer and Gray Zone activity at the same time, doing the work on intelligence production over at Forward Observer and intelligence training over at Gray Zone. And it's taken me a long time to learn, but I actually cannot do both of those at the same time and still do the things that I enjoy doing, like running this podcast. And it's also cut down on my training schedule and my blogging about SHTF intelligence and security, all the other things I talk about. And so I've hired a director of intelligence over at Forward Observer. He's highly capable. And we are in the handover process with him. He's going to be running intelligence production on the Daily SA Show, running the Daily Intelligence Report and live stream briefing. I'm going to continue on as a contributor, and I'll have some more details on what that's going to look like. I will let everyone know later this month. But for now, I'm back on the show. I'm going to crank out at least one episode per week. As a matter of fact, this week I have two or three, maybe even three or four interviews lined up for guests on this show. And we're going to talk about a lot of Gray Zone stuff. I'm very excited. And with all this extra time now, now that I'm back over at Gray Zone full time, by the way, I'm going to get back to the work of intelligence and security training for all your Gray Zone needs. March is National Area Study Month. And coming up on Monday, the 13th of March, you can join me for Area Study Night. I will be giving a 45-minute presentation on Monday night. Again, that's the 13th of March, on how to do an area study, followed by some time for Q&A. I think it's at 7 p.m. If you're not receiving my Gray Zone Dispatch emails, then you can sign up at www.grayzoneactivity.com/dispatch. Or just go to grayzoneactivity.com and hit that little purple link that says Gray Zone Dispatch in the top right-hand corner. I'm sending out that link on Monday to everybody who signed up. And I'm also back to writing about SHTF intelligence and preparing for the Gray Zone over at the Dispatch. I email out those posts. And, you know, I email more than I post to that blog. The blog's really for kind of more formal articles. And, you know, if something strikes me, I'll send out an email to everyone, but only if I think it's going to be helpful for you. And I'm doing this because I think we as a society, it's not just me, it's you too, think we're headed into the Gray Zone as a society because our low-intensity conflict is going to worsen. Low-intensity conflict is this umbrella term for conflict beneath the threshold of conventional war. So we're not talking about tanks and bombers at war in the United States, but above routine peaceful competition. And it includes everything from violent social movements to terrorist groups, guerrilla warfare, insurgency, popular revolution, which I think we saw a glimpse of in 2020, at least an attempted popular revolution. And I think the class warfare part probably started back in 2008 with the bailouts and Occupy Wall Street and also the Great Recession. And then we had a resurgence of the militia movement once the president who shall not be named was elected and reelected. And then starting in 2016, we had several years of low-intensity conflict spurred by the resurgence of the far left and also by Trump and the America First movement. Those were the two primary combatants there. And then we hit a high watermark in 2020, at least for my lifetime. We hit a high watermark with 2020 and Floyd's rebellion. In the coming years, I think we are going to see something that rivals 2020. And I think also there's a very good chance that we see something that is substantially worse. There is a good chance in the next several years that we see a world war. I think there's a very good chance that the American Empire, Washington, D.C., goes to war with China in an effort to save Pax Americana, because at this point, that is defeating China is probably the only thing that can save Pax Americana, if it can be saved at all. But I think there's a very good chance we see that. History says, what, it's like 70% of the time or something like that, when a revisionist power challenges a status quo power, there's war. It's called Thucydides' Trap. And Graham Allison wrote a book called Destined for War, and he talks about it. He goes, makes a historical case that war is the result 70% of the time. Even if we don't go to war with China, I think we're still going to see a substantial domestic disruption, something that may look like an inflationary depression. I think that is a possibility here in the United States. And maybe even a low-intensity conflict heading into 2024, and you get the post-election fallout into 2025 and beyond. Maybe that is a low-intensity conflict that heats up and turns into a legitimate domestic conflict. And even if it's not in 24, 25, we may see it again, 28, 29, at some point this decade. All three of those things are independently possible, and they could all happen at the same time or around the same time. And by the way, we go to war with China, most of global trade stops. Insurance on global trade is going to be so catastrophically high. The insurance on those ships is going to be so high that you're just not going to be able to afford a lot of imports. And since we make very little in this country, I mean, we're just talking about a massive amount of domestic disruption here. I think there's a 0% chance that none of those three things happen this decade. I think there's a very good chance that all three of those things happen this decade. And since all three of those things are at least independently possible, my message here, and through the Gray Zone Dispatch blog, and through our courses at Gray Zone Activity, is that time is running out to get prepared. And I know people have been preparing for decades. I still hear people that say, oh, they've been preparing since the 1970s. But I have a real big problem with that. Most of those people, they think of preparedness, and they think of stuff. Like, oh, I got some ammo and some food packed away. I got 7 years worth of food. And they don't have an area study. That is the foundation of everything. The area study is the foundational piece of preparedness and security planning. I don't care how much stuff someone has. If you have not done a methodical and systematic analysis, an area assessment of everything from your subdivision to your neighborhood to your county, you are skipping over critical pieces of your operating environment that could negatively impact you in the future. And if you do not account for those things, I really don't care how much food or water or whatever someone has saved up, you suffer from strategic shock. Strategic shock is what happens when you get blindsided by something that you didn't know was there. And I think that's going to happen to a great many people, which is why everyone has to do an area study. So many people are stuck in sustainment. And once you do an area study, people start to learn how to move from the sustainment level of preparation, which is just like the most basic form of preparedness, into thinking operationally. And I'm not talking about, you know, violence or war fighting here. I'm talking about building these strategic advantages that you're going to need as we get into this gray zone. And the gray zone is more or less a euphemism of all these things that are going to happen as we get into this decade. Once you do an area study and you realize not just the problems that you may encounter, but the opportunities that are out there, once you have that mindset, you can graduate from sustainment, the sustainment phase of preparedness, to the operational phase of preparedness. The biggest misconception about an area study is that it's just a collection of information. I still hear people say, well, I've lived in this area for 20 years and I know this area like the back of my hand, and I don't need an area study because I know everything already. Good luck, my man. The reason we do an area study is to make sure we're not skipping over anything. I think I've said this on some other, I know I've said this in some area study talks and classes, but one of the reasons why you do an area study is not for your benefit, it's for the benefit of the people around you. Because when Mr. Subject Matter Expert lived in this area for 30 years, gets slumped over a fence rail, his family is not going to have that same level of area expertise that he had. And once he's gone, it's gone. So that's another reason why we want to do an area study. And really, it should be a collaborative process anyway, because no one is as smart as everyone. And so by going through this collaborative process with, I don't know, a preparedness group, a neighborhood watch, even just a group of family and friends, people on your block, you're going to get a more complete picture. And this is very important, again, not just for threats, but for assets and opportunities that exist locally that you may not be aware of. An area study is a blueprint for action. You do your area study, it is going to tell you exactly what you need to do and where to focus your efforts. Once you do your area study, you're going to have a much better idea of how to start developing your local area. And once you graduate from that sustainment phase to the operational phase, and you can start looking at things like what I refer to as second layer solutions, things like establishing a local information sharing network, or building an area or a regional preparedness network, identifying future supply lines and local sources of the things that you need or you will need, establishing ties with local producers and working within the community to build an alternative logistics network. Because once global trade stops with China, if it does, if we do get into a war, which I think there's a good chance we will, a lot of the stuff's going to dry up. So the question is, how are you going to fix your tractor? How are you going to fix your appliance, your rototiller? How are you going to fix all that stuff when you can't get parts from China? Well, you're going to have to metal fab it. You're going to have to find a metal fabricator. That should be part of your area study. And then not just saying, oh, hey, there's a metal fab shop down the road, but getting to know those people. There's a very good chance that they are concerned about the future just like you are. And when I say operationalize the area, that's exactly what I'm talking about. I'm talking about reaching people and activating them, getting everyone on the same page, pushing in the same direction through a regional preparedness network, for instance. And that's how you get a lot of like-minded people pushing in the same direction. And once you can do that, the possibilities are limitless. And I'll make that point here in just a second. But this focus locally, the things that I just talked about, this is how you build strategic advantages for yourself. And one reason why I'm really glad to get back or to get over to Gray Zone full time is because I'm going to be studying low intensity conflicts and what those look like and how people were impacted. Studying the third world, how do those people get by? What are their lessons learned? And I'll be sharing those lessons and also teaching others about how to build these things that I'm talking about, how to do an area study, how to go deep in an area study, how to build a local intelligence network. Or if you've already been doing some of those things, how to improve those things. But this all starts with the area study. Monday, 13 March, area study night. Join me. It's going to take about 45 minutes for me to get through what I want to get through. And then we'll do 15. I'll do Q&A for as long as people have cues. And I'm going to be dropping some knowledge again, www.grayzoneactivity.com/dispatch. Sign up for that. I'll send the email out on Monday. I'm going to spend the next month hammering the area study. And then in May, we are going to get into how to start a regional preparedness network. I guess that's like a month and a half or almost 2 months. So through May or through April, I'm going to talk about the area study. And then in May, I'm going to shift gears and we're going to start talking about how to build a regional preparedness network. How do you bring together these like-minded individuals and members of your community in a sane way to identify future problems you're going to experience, whether it's an inflationary depression, a general election going catastrophically wrong, a contested election, or a low-intensity conflict heating up, or war with China, or who knows, Hurricane Katrina, 10X, whatever happens in the future. Identify those future problems, not just that you're going to experience as an individual, but that you are going to experience as a team or as a community, and then start working towards solutions. Man, that is an incredible strategic advantage, and it's not just for you. By the way, between the last podcast I did and this podcast, I became a father. And that is one reason why I have this sense of urgency for me locally to build all these things. Because something happens to me, I'm going to be able to give my son access to this network. He is going to know these people. They're going to know him. They're going to be in, have the opportunity to help each other. And all these, all the lone wolf preppers and the little hermits and the pack rats who have their, you know, guns and ammo, and they got 7 years of food and water. And man, a family, if that's you and that's, and you're a family of four and something happens to you and those people are not connected to a community. And I'm not just talking about a church, although a church is a great way to connect to the community. I'm talking about, I want to connect my family to other people who are operationalizing preparedness on a community level. Because that is the strategic advantage you need to survive and thrive in the gray zone. That's a barn burner of a topic. And it's one of those second layer solutions that, I don't know, I guess is non-obvious to some people in the preparedness community. Because there is that desire to hunker down. And if you're trying to get through a tornado or a hurricane, yeah, sure, that's fine. You can hunker down for 24 hours or for, you know, 4 hours or whatever. But low-intensity conflict, our worsening low-intensity conflict in this country, our descent into the third world, an inflationary depression, domestic disruption like you have never seen as a result of a war with China is going to be a protracted problem. That is not a 24-hour problem. That may be a 24-year problem. And I'm not saying this is an arc that, you know, you build this local community group and you sail away and you wait for it to stop raining, although you may do that. But protracted problems require protracted solutions. And that's what a regional preparedness network is. That's what a local information sharing network or intel network is. And so hunkering down is not going to solve these problems. It is going to make your, it's going to compound your problems. What is going to solve these problems are people who need to be organizing right now. And so we do an area study to prepare for that next step. So over the next few months, we're going to do an area study, and then we're going to start a regional preparedness network. And guys, I'm going to be talking my way through this for you, telling you exactly what I've done on my local level to do these things. And then after we start a regional preparedness network, you're going to listen to this podcast. You're going to follow along. Next, we're going to formalize a local information sharing network. I'm going to teach you how to build a local intelligence network, how to get it started, how to run it, because that's what you need for the gray zone. And then we're going to start building political, social, and economic power locally, because that's how you win low-intensity conflict. That's how you survive and thrive in the gray zone. That's how you build and maintain a first world zone in a third world descent, which is where I fear we are headed. And that's how you win the future. And if not for you, then for your kids, for the next generation. All that and more coming up on this podcast and over at Gray Zone Dispatch, my blog, and I'm back to blogging again. Tell your friends and family that I'm back. Send them the link to this podcast. Post the link on social media. If I don't do another podcast before Monday, then I will see you hopefully on Monday, the 13th of March at 7 p.m. Central Time. We're going to spend an hour or however long it takes talking about an area study, getting you going so that we can go and graduate from sustainment to the operational level for parents, start building strategic advantages, these second layer solutions. And then we're going to win the future. So I'll see you Monday, and then I'll be back next week with another episode of this podcast. Thanks for listening. Until then, be well and stay out front.